Blog Talk Radio.
All right, y'all, let's rock. I'm your host on 752, and today on this Sunday, the 16th of April, we are talking about looking how you look, acting like you act. Looking how you look, acting how you act. Looking how you look, acting how you act. And what we're basically talking about is how you can be mistaken for having a certain type of personality or being from a certain region, city, state, country, town, whatever, just based on how people's perception is of how you dress, how you look, how you talk, the way you bat your eyes. You know, like, we only wear our eyelashes that long in Kansas City. They don't do that nowhere in the Midwest. Just an example. I don't even think it's true. Shout out to all my people in Kansas. Nah, man, they beat us in the Super Bowl. To hell. Speaking of Super Bowl, hold on. Do you know that the Kansas City Chiefs have come out with a milk drink called Philly Tears or Eagles Tears or something like that? It's just like a shot at the Philadelphia Eagles for losing the Super Bowl and being pissed off about the call that pretty much made them lose the Super Bowl. But they came out with this. Hold on. Because I saw this the other day and I was like, so the NFL allowed that? You can go petty like that?
Well, Philly.
Hold on. Yeah, Philly Tears. Yeah, it's called the Eagles Tears. Wait, hold on. This shit is fucking crazy. I'm going to show y'all. Yeah. Eagles Tears. Trolling the Philadelphia Super Bowl. We got to get back. All right. Eagles. I'm going to show y'all this shit. I'm going to show y'all. Look at this. Look at him. What happened to the picture? Come on, picture. Come on, picture. Look, Kansas City-based milk company releases Eagles Tears flavor, trolling Philadelphia Super Bowl loss. Come on, where's the picture? All right, here. You see that? Like, that is some, if that ain't the illest thing, Super Bowl, it has 57 Eagles Tears. And the date of the Super Bowl, 2/12/23. I'm done. But you, I guess you know that this means war. I hope you know that this means war. But anyway. Eagles Tears. All right. So, yeah. Have you ever been mistaken for being from a certain place? Because of the way you talk, maybe you have a certain vernacular, or the way that you dress, maybe you look like the people who dress from a certain place. Like, okay, here's one. A lot of dark-skinned people that I know that are just regular black Americans, American-born and bred black Americans, sometimes the way that they look or maybe the way that they pronounce certain words or maybe the way that they dress, or something about their demeanor, some American black people have been mistaken for being from the island. Like, you know, so people will ask them, you know, are you Jamaican or are you from one of the islands? For some reason in Philadelphia, we think that it's always Jamaican. We would never say Bahamian. We would never say Bermuda. We would never say the Virgin Islands or places like that. Barbados. You know, it's always Jamaica. And maybe that's because our primary interaction with the majority of people that are from the Caribbean islands, the black people from Caribbean islands in the city of Philadelphia, have been Jamaicans. There hasn't been many Trinidadians that were visible like that. But anyway, so yeah. And sometimes African. There are plenty of black people who may wear dashiki every now and then. Or there are some American black people who really appreciate traditional African dress. So they may dress like that every now and then. Or maybe they might wrap their hair. You know, I actually like that. The African women who wear the headdress and whatever. So many, many black women that I know have been asked, you know, are you from Africa? What part of Africa are you from? Or are you Jamaican? Or blah, 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 blah. I know in this city, if you wear a pair of Bally's or you know, some Wallabies or something like that, people might think that you're either Jamaican or from New York. I've definitely been accused, asked, assumed, even indicted for being for really being from New York. I'm like, you need a list of high schools? I'm sorry. Do you need a list of schools that I've gone to? What are you talking about? Yeah, whatever. I'm like, okay. Let me say it in Philly. You mean whatever? Because maybe I goofed and said whatever. Whatever. There you have it. We got to do the hard ER in this city. So the hard R. That's Philly talk. But yeah, so you may be mistaken for being from somewhere that you're not, or for being a certain way that you're not. There are plenty of examples that fit this bill. People who wear expensive clothing or jewelry or things like that. Like, look, y'all, I wear, you know, gold chains with diamonds. Look, evidently I have a lot of money, right? I make a lot of money. Well, black people have been doing that for years. And many of us have done it on purpose. Like, yeah. You know, I want people to know that I'm getting paid. I'm out here getting money. I work for mine or whatever. Whatever it is that I do, whether I beat the streets or whether I'm rocking the boardroom or, you know, just doing the over 9 to 5. I like nice stuff, expensive stuff. And I'm speaking for the people who have done it for the purpose of making people think that they have money or that they're doing well financially. But we all know that those things can really backfire on you. When you dress the part or look the part of somebody that makes a lot of money, either people are going to try to take money away from you by theft, violence, or they're going to be in your pockets all the time asking you for money. And I don't know if that's what you want. If that's what you was looking for, you're going to get it. People think that you have money all the time because you flashing money all the time, or you acting like you have money all the time, or you're talking about money all the time. Money, money, money. Money. Money, 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 money. For the love of money. People will rob their own mother. People will kill their own brother. You know, it's a real thing. But sometimes you may throw people off the trail of what you really have or what you really do just by doing certain things on purpose. The funny thing is, the crazy thing is, people who really have money, people who really are wealthy, don't seem to spend their money on lavish things, expensive things. They have expensive things, but it doesn't normally have anything to do with the clothes that they're wearing or the way that they look physically. I mean, if you go to their house, you realize, oh, this is a big, expensive house. If you see what they drive, you realize, like, oh, yeah, you got to have a couple of dollars to do this. It's not normally about really rich people. I ain't never seen Bill Gates rock a chain. Can you imagine the kind of chain that he would have if he was trying to be symbolic of the wealth that he has? You know, can you imagine what the Oprah chain would look like? Like, so let me get this straight. Oprah, you got a $5 million chain? Oh, no, it's not a $5 million chain. It's a $10 million chain. It's a $5 million piece. Oh, okay, I got you. So $15 million, okay. But can you imagine that? So logically, we realize that when you really, really have money, you don't flash the money like that. Your reputation precedes you anyway. Everyone knows that you're getting it like that. If you're famous or in the spotlight, even if you're only famous and in the spotlight in your respective field of business. So maybe in engineering, everybody knows that you own these engineering firms. Everybody knows you're the builder. You're the money man. You're the financier of the builders. No, you don't actually put up rivets and gilders and rafters. You don't plaster walls or put up sheetrock or lay down floors or tile or any of those things like that. But you provide the platform for all of those things to be done. So you're the one who puts the trains on the railroad tracks. As a matter of fact, you're the ones who get the railroad tracks put in certain regions where the tracks didn't go before. You're not likely to be flashing your money and doing that and acting out that way. But people who make five figures, high five figures, low six figures, mid six figures, low seven figures, they're going to do that. They're going to do that. And I don't think that anything is wrong with it, but the question of this show that we are addressing is looking the way you look or acting the way you act. Does it really tell the story? Does it really tell the story of who you are as a person? So when somebody has basically mistaken your identity to be one thing because of the way that you look to them or the way that you dress, as far as they are concerned, are you okay with that? Have you done the work to make them think this, that, and the third? Have you? That's what we're talking about today on the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. So let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752, and this is Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single Sunday from 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Sunday. And it is Sunday, a nice set Sunday, April 16th. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight. We're back and forth with each other, busting up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I am your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Earth. This is the Earth. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope y'all feel like real men and women should also. We are talking about looking how you look, acting how you act. Does it tell the story? Does the way you look portray what's really going on inside of your heart, inside of your mind? Does the way that you, does your outward appearance tell the story of what's going on inside of you? What do y'all got for me? What's going on, Stacy White? Things coming on through today. And a T. Carey Wright. Yeah, appreciate you. Hey, what's up, y'all? What y'all got for me? Have you ever been mistaken for being something that you're not or being a way that you're not. I got one. I got one. Being conceited. Has anybody ever told you that when they first met you, they thought that you would be conceited or that you would be stuck up? Has anybody ever told you that when they first met you, they thought that you were stuck up or that you were conceited? I have. And I'm like, what? I said, what? And honestly, I think that in many ways, that probably exists with me today. I think that many people think that I'm conceited. They don't know I'm a goofball. They don't know I like to play. They don't know I like to see people win. They don't know that I'm way more congratulatory of people's success, decent people anyway. And I'm not a hater. They don't know. But people have told me, yeah, I thought you was stuck up. But I think I know why. I think I do have a handle on why. Personally, I could do a better job at endearing myself to people, at reaching out to people. I keep to myself a lot. I watch and observe and I see how the environment, the scene, and the way people are. I do that. I don't normally go up to people and start asking a lot of questions and getting in people's business and things like that. And unfortunately, that is something that builds bonds with people sometimes. It may not be the kind of bonds that you want in the long run, but it definitely lets people know that you reach out and all that kind of stuff. So I know that I could do a better job at that. But what would make a person say that, yeah, Omar, I thought you was conceited when I first met you or when I first saw you? Like, conceited? What up, Vita B? Thanks for coming on through. Now, I'm saying that people used to, you know, say that. I'm not so sure if people don't still say it, but I might not even be privy to that information. Who they may be saying it to may not tell me, or maybe they agree with them. Like, yeah, he's a little hoity-toity, a little uppity. I'm like, man, y'all must be crazy. You know, you often see yourself differently than other people see you. But that can be the gift, and that can be the curse. That can be the gift, and that can be the curse. I don't know. But yeah, looked like you was stuck up. Have you ever known anybody that you thought was stuck up, conceited, standoffish, whatever, outwardly judgmental? Have you ever known somebody who looked that part and who actually was? It's not out of the realm of possibility, right? It ain't even out of the realm of possibility. It definitely happens. Sometimes you're right. Sometimes you read the cover of the book correctly. Because I'm E-S-S-E-C-T, smooth operator, operating correctly, back to the lab, without a mic to grab. So then I, you know, I've learned over the years that just because you mind your business doesn't mean that other people will recognize that as being so. Sometimes people think that you're minding your business because you're gathering information and you're trying to go undetected. You just never know. You never, 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 never know. All right. Let me see what my people talking about. See what my people talk. Wow. You serious? TK Wright says, I thought that you were conceited. Wow. Okay. Shoot. Well, there you have it. Okay, TK Wright also says, once you started opening up, you went from conceited to all high strung to down to earth. High strung? All of this is from a meet and greet, huh? Okay, cool. TK Wright says, I have a coworker who looks like a Karen and definitely is. My name is not Susan. I said a little high strung. Like, not all. Okay. Well, to me, I ain't gonna front. A little high strung means high strung. Whatever that means. You know what I mean? Like, whatever being high strung means. I know that when I start talking about something that's important to me, I get real passionate. And that might be what high strung means to you. It could be. I'm just making that assumption. But I know that once I start talking about something that's really important to me, whether it might be like Black history or our condition as Black people and what I think that we should do and, you know, Black, you know. Yeah. I get mad passionate about that. And so I know that for some people, that can come off a certain type of way, not in a positive way. So I get that part. I get if that's the high strung that we're talking about. When we talk about hip-hop, you know, people start talking about hip-hop, I'd be like, well, hold on, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? I might can't tell you who was the best guitarist in rock music or the best bassist in funk music, but we want to start talking about beats and lyrics. Yeah, we going to have that conversation. Okay, you said it's what you said and how you act. Okay. It is what it means to me. Okay, cool. Cool. Saboy Wilkins. What's going on, Saboy? She's talking about some hi, everyone. At Taki, he's a little extra. I don't like the way this show ain't even about me. No, don't say hi to me now. No. I'm gonna go back to my conceited roots, wherever they are. I'm gonna plant them. Okay, TK Wright says it ended with down to earth. The more we met up and talked, but you give off arrogance. Now I won't deny that, because I have been definitely told that I give off a certain arrogance, and I do. I don't really want to change that, though, because people be trying, you know what I mean? You got to have a certain amount of, listen, I know what the fuck I'm doing. You got to have a certain, don't try to tell me about what I know. I'll listen, I'll let you teach me what I don't know, but you probably haven't had this perspective of over here. And arrogance is not a good thing, but I consider my arrogance to be my swag. But it's definitely not conceited. Like, I never had a shot at conceit. Like, growing up with the parents that I had, I ain't got a shot at it. Now, I can like who I want to like and dislike who I want to dislike, but here's what I'm not able to do because of the way I was brought up. I'm not able to look at somebody who grew up with only a little bit of money or no money or whatever and look down on them like they're worthless. I'm incapable of doing that. And I'm unable and incapable of looking at somebody who grew up with really good means and good money and education and all that like they all of that. It's not going to happen. I've only been brought up to look for the balance and look for the value in a person's person. You know, in other words, to look at who they really are, what their contribution to whatever situation that they're in and their contribution to this world, this earth, this being, this people, this culture. Other than that, I'm not, you'll never hear me running around here acting like somebody is all that because they have a lot of money, because they paid or acting like somebody ain't shit because they ain't got no money. Now, if you ain't got no money and you run around here acting like you are the best thing since hot dog, I mean, pork chops and applesauce. If you running around here like you getting money or like you are better than other people and you ain't got a pot to piss in, a window to throw it out of, or a friend to talk about it to, yeah, I'm going to check you on that. Same way as if you act like because you have money and means, like you are just a shit, when I know that nobody likes you, nobody loves you, and that you're really only acting that way to hide your loneliness. You know that you have to buy everybody who is near you. You had to buy your woman. You got to buy your kids. You have to buy your, you got to buy your family members, your friends, everybody. All you are good for is a check. I'm going to check you on that. But that's just me. I ain't saying that I have the right to do that. I ain't saying that I'm right for doing it. Because I might ain't. So what we talking about? If y'all ever wonder how come I always take my glasses off and put them back on, it's because I don't like wearing glasses. It has nothing to do with the way I look with glasses or whatever. I just don't like it having anything on my face. Like, how come I can't see without the aid of this face weight? You know? But speaking of glasses, since we talk about looking how you look, acting how you act, is it true or is it untrue that a lot of people who think that people who wear glasses may be smart or intelligent? People even say it. Oh, yeah, you know, she must be really intelligent or nerdy because she wears glasses. You know what I think that people who wear glasses, you know what I think about people who wear glasses? You know, the first thing that comes to my mind when I see somebody who wears glasses, whether they are designer glasses or whether they are horn-rimmed, basic $200 frames or whatever. You know what my first thought is that comes to mind when I see someone who wears glasses? Not that they're intelligent, not that they're nerdy, not that they're fly. You know what I normally think? I think that they have a problem with their sight. I think that they can't see that well. That's the first thing I think about when I see somebody wears glasses. All that other shit is not first. I think that when I see somebody who wears glasses, I'm not thinking that they're smart, that they do well in school, you know, that they're nerdy, that they're probably into Dungeons and Dragons or some bullshit like that. Nope. I'm thinking they can't see. That's what I'm thinking. They can't see. That's what I'm thinking. A lot of people say, oh, such and such, she's so nerdy. You know what I mean? You can tell that she's smart. You can tell that he's smart. No, I can't. I can tell that they can't read the material without them glasses on. Those are my first thoughts when I see somebody who wears glasses. Now, of course, we grew up in the era Gazelle frames, Mega designs, Porsche designs. I still, to this day, I don't know how Ray-Bans got popular. Back in the day, we looked at Ray-Bans like, all right, we'd get a pair of Ray-Bans and we can't get nothing else. Well, nobody wasn't buying no damn Ray-Bans. We wasn't. Gucci frames, YSL, that's Yves Saint Laurent. You know, the designer frames. So, yeah, but I think that a person can't see when I see that they wear glasses. I know that's what you need to think of me, because I wore shades and sunglasses and stuff like that when I was younger, but I never really liked to. I want people to see my eyes, my whole face. I don't want these shits. These are an obstruction. So, and I try my best to be able to see without them on. Okay. Oh, you co-signing with what Savoy said? I says, I know Savoy. That was almost 10 years ago, and he's still extra. Stacy says, some can look part judgment, or you have to learn to trust people online, friends. Oh, have you learned to trust people online? No. Mm-mm. Trusting people online is, they'll get you into nothing but trouble. I trust people who I get to know. Shit. People sell people houses that people still live in online. People sell people cars that they still own online. Nah, Some boy says, men used to approach me and ask, are you married? You look married. What does that mean? That's a good one, Savoy. That's a good one. What does looking like you're married mean? And I'll say this. I think that looking like you're married probably looks like you dress conservatively. You're not out here looking like you're trying to. I don't think it has anything to do with your attractiveness, because I think that they are saying that you're attractive. But I think they're also saying that you don't look like you're out here hunting. You don't look like you're out here trying to find something, or trying to be put on the hook with someone else. So they might be saying that you look like you respect the man that you're with by dressing classy. That might be what they're saying. You look like you're married. You know, I know most men would want their woman to look classy out there when they're out in the streets, to carry themselves with class. With class, and that's a word we can speak about, because I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I'll say what it means to me as much as I can think of. To me, when a woman looks classy, she looks like she's confident in the way that she looks, the way that she acts, the things that she knows. She's conscious and aware and concerned about the way that she portrays herself in public. So, in other words, she carries herself with an air of respect. So maybe that's what looking like you're married looks like. Hopefully, you didn't take it as a diss, because I can see if a woman is told that she looks like she's married, maybe she looks like she ain't trying no more. Like, only a married woman would come out here with a bonnet on, slippers on, pajamas on, you know, looking like, or not getting her hair done, not looking like she cares about anybody, whether anybody wants her, like she looks settled in a, yeah, you already got me, already got you now, I ain't got to try no more. Hopefully that's not what people mean by that. Emily Dunlap in the house. I said Emily. Emily says, tread lightly, Omar, about us people wearing glasses. I'm one of y'all. What you talking about? I hope you don't think I'm wearing these glasses. I know you know I'm not wearing these glasses because I like the look. Listen, if my eyesight could be better, you would never see a pair of glasses on my face again. Ever. Ever. For any reason. I wouldn't even wear goggles when I swim underwater if I could see without them. And it's quite amazing how you can see underwater with goggles on. That shit is really something. Emily said, good save, Omar. Emily, you don't wear glasses all the time. Not in your pictures, you don't. Maybe you feel some kind of way about your glasses. Maybe. Maybe. T. Carrie Wright says, Savoy, I used to get that married or not. I asked, what do you mean? They said, that it was because I didn't seem to pay them any mind, plus the way that I dress and wear my hair. What does that mean? TK Ray says, Emily, with my blind ass. What she said, blind behind. So boy said, at Taki, they said, you act married. How do married people act? Shoot, hopefully, I don't know, online, they say married people act like they looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. So I guess it depends on whether you're talking about a modern marriage or marriage back in or a traditional marriage. Because, you know, modern love walks beside me, modern love. Modern love walks on by, modern love. No confession, no religion. Can't believe in God and man, God and man. Rest in peace, David Bowie. How about that? Rest in peace, David Bowie. He made great songs. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go out. I want to stay in. Get things done. I catch the paper boy, but things will never change. I'm stranded in the rain, but I'll never wave bye-bye. But I try. Come on, y'all. Come on. All right, come on. Y'all gonna front on Modern Love by David Bowie? You gonna front on Modern Love by David Bowie? Huh? Huh? How about Under Pressure, David Bowie and Queen? Huh? You gonna front on them too? Are you gonna front on them too? Are you? All right. TK Ray says 100 on Get to Know. Online friends are all Nigerian princes until I know better. Ah! The Nigerian monarchy. Emperor of Nigeria. Good answer, Stacey. Appreciate that. DK Rice says, Savoy, acting married means not being flirty or holding eye contact. Not online, it don't. Acting married online means you in somebody inbox. Good morning, beautiful. Can I see you? I sent you a dick pic. Did you see it? Do you like it? Would you want to be it? We see it inside. Can we reside together? It's me and you forever. Yeah, I got a little wife at home, but we are separated. I'ma leave her alone. I really want to be with you until you really understand who I am. Ooh, ooh. Yeah, me and you and I. We'll be together till the six is nine. That's right. He said until the six is nine. So we'll be together for 3 hours? I don't know. Stacey, you lost your glasses? You lost your glasses? That's like my sister Dita. She be losing her glasses all the time. I've never lost a pair of glasses since I started wearing them. I started wearing them in 2017. I was like, first I lose my hair, now this? No! Make sure y'all hit the like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. Oh, you said, Stacey said, that's why I don't get expensive frames no more. Yeah, if you got a problem losing your glasses, yeah, you need not. So Because losing your, first of all, the prescription part costs $1 million. And then you add on expensive frames. Like, come on, man. You should not be wearing $1,000 on your damn face. I don't care what nobody said. You wouldn't hit a man with glasses, would you? All right. Emily says, taking pictures with my glasses always have a glare. Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense. Savoy says, love David Bowie. Well, why wasn't you singing it with me? You love David Bowie so much. I think you're fronting. I don't even think you know who David Bowie is. I don't think you know. Major Tom to ground control. No, it's the first one is ground control to Major Tom. Okay. DMs are basically online twerk boxes. Laughing her ass off at Sixers. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Will you and I will be together till the six is nine. That's right. I'm like, so we gonna be together for three hours, Rick? You and I, woo woo, woo woo woo, woo woo. You and I was a bad song, man. That Rick James, he was a bad man. He was bad. He was bad, bad. What he said, you're saying he was saying 69. He said, we'll be together till the six is nine. If he said, you know, in the 70s, they didn't pull no punches. You can say all kinds of nasty shit in the 70s. So if he meant do a 69, he would have said that. You and I, we'll get together and do a 69. That's right. Speaking of a 69, I know it's off topic, but speaking of a 69, have you ever done a position 69? Because, you know, when we were younger, we thought it was so cool. It was so nasty. It was so in vogue to do a 69. Like, yeah, position 69. Oh, yeah, we're going to do a 69, but I owe you one, so do a 68. Anyway, have you ever actually tried to do a 69? Because it's mad overrated. It's like, first of all, it's hard. It's hard to do. And even if you do it, like, it's going to be so hard to really please your partner because you have to not be pleased yourself while you're pleasing somebody else and ignore whether you're being pleased yourself while you're trying to please somebody else. And, God forbid there's a height difference, and there's going to be. So, yeah, 69. We've probably all tried it, but I'll bet you the older you got, you ain't say nothing about no damn 69. Like, nah, we good. Anyway. We also used to use the word doggy style. Now we just be like, you know, hit it from the back. Somebody must have told us that all animals hit it from the back. All animals do it doggy style. So why do we? or worse, some of these nasty ass freaks out here were actually having sex with dogs. Now, I've actually seen that. It's disgusting. Okay. Stacey says, I hope I find my glasses around this apartment. Well, maybe you should go get a pair of glasses so maybe you can see your glasses. I mean, you know, I found a lot of stuff just by tracing my steps. But there's a time factor. TK Wright says, yes, it's stupid. Yeah, that's 69 shit. But when you're younger, when you 15, 16, 17, you be talking about that kind of shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. remember they even had a song about it. What was it? What was his boy's name? I'm going to hit you with a 69. I'm going to hit you with a 69. I'm going to hit you with a 69. What was his name? What was his name? He was the popular guy on Uptown Records before there was Biggie and Craig Mack and what's his name? Was his name Mr. something? I'm going to hit you with a 69. The song was... It wasn't the wackest song. But it wasn't going to make my mixtape. Link? Was Link? Was Link? Anyway, so looking how you look, acting the way you act. So what do we have? Looking like you're conceited. Looking like you're a nerd or that you're smart because you wear glasses. Looking like you're married because you may be conservative in the way that you carry yourself. You carry yourself with an air of respectability and a regal bearing. A regal bearing. Do you know what a regal bearing is? All right. I'm going to show you what we mean. What does it mean to carry yourself with a regal bearing? An outward manifestation of an inner trust in oneself. Having a regal bearing means taking ownership of your power and unleashing it in the service of becoming all that you are meant to be. It is the confidence and capability to take bold action while remaining humble, authentic, and sincere. Y'all like that? I like that. To carry yourself with a regal bearing means an outward manifestation of an inner trust in oneself. Having a regal bearing means taking ownership of your power and unleashing it in the service of becoming all that you are meant to be. It is the confidence and capability to take bold action while remaining humble, authentic, and sincere. Link is an R&B artist? No. No, I'm not talking about that. This dude was a rapper. Matter of fact, Mary J. Blige was his backup singer. What was his name? That's where Mary J. Blige came from. She was his backup singer first. How would you like it if I hit you with a 69? No, I don't think that's the name of the Father MC. Yeah, Father MC. I'm like, did his name start with Mr. No? It's Father MC. Yeah, that's him. Father MC. I'm going to hit you with a 69. I'm going to hit you with a. It's funny because he was pretty large. He was pretty large before. He was definitely a P. Diddy type of rapper, wasn't he? That just shows you how Puffy just throws motherfuckers away. Sorry about that. I didn't see that you was talking about Father MC. Father MC, what a name. Father MC. So, yeah. Looking how you look, looking the way you look, acting the way that you act. Has anybody ever mistaken you from being from a different city than where you come from? And I don't mean like a close town of where you come from. Well, to be honest with you, I can tell from a certain accent if somebody grew up in Chester as opposed to Philly. There's certain slangs that they use in Chester. Chester is 10 miles up 95 away from Philly. 10 measly miles from Philly. But there's a difference. They're a little bit different in Chester. If you cross the bridge over in Camden, not even 10 miles away. They have a little, even though it is a different state, but even, you know, Camden is a New Jersey state, but Philly is still their city. Just like in North Jersey, you might live in Jersey City. You might live in Patterson. You might live in Hoboken. You're still going to be like a New Yorker. Like, you're probably going to be a Jets or Giants fan or a Knicks or a Nets fan. Of Yankees or Mets fans. So, you know, they're still your home city. You could say, well, but no, Newark is our home city. Like, all right. If you want to lowball that way, but you know what I mean. So yeah. I'm not talking about if somebody mistakes you from being from the suburbs when you're really from the city. But it could happen that way. And it could be just because of the way you talk. Like maybe if your parents didn't allow you to use a lot of slang growing up, so you don't use a lot of slang, and they wouldn't allow you to mispronounce words growing up. Like maybe your parents wouldn't even let you say y'all. Like, no, y'all is not a word. Well, Mom, it is a word because all my friends say y'all. Well, it's not a word. Even if you can look it up in the dictionary, it's not a word. The term is you all. That's what y'all is supposed to stand for, you all. So maybe if you had parents who were strict with the King's English, people might not think you're from the city because in many cities, they use a lot of slang. And also a certain accent. So I know that I've known people who live deep in the hood, but when you talk to them, you're like, well, wait, this is bigger than when they don't have no soul. But it's often that too. You know, when you're from the city, when you're from urban city areas, when you're from the inner city, you normally have a certain grit to you because you've had to defend yourself. You've had to make sure that you were protected out there in these streets. It can get dangerous out there in these streets. It's rough out here in these streets. So when you see somebody that says they're from the inner city and maybe they speak properly, maybe they don't seem to have any toughness with them, maybe they seem a little timid and shy, and you're like, you must be from Abington. I say, you must be from Horsham. That you must be from Springfield somewhere. You ain't from where I'm from. You must be where the houses are big and they single family homes. You ain't from around the way. You ain't from the row home. You ain't from the kind of home I own. You don't have no swag to you. You're kind of light. I ain't saying that you ain't never been in a fight, but you don't look like you could win. Matter of fact, you look like you could be blown by the wind. If I just did this, you might lay on down, you might sit on down like a dog. I'm trying to talk about the car getting the wheel. Something ain't right. It don't have that feel. Yo, what's the deal? What's the deal? Mm-hmm. TK Wright says Jodeci sang background for him on Treat 'Em Like They Wanted. They sure did. They sure did. Father MC was the big act on Uptown Records for a hot minute. He was doing it. He was doing it. He was doing it. Father MC.
I'm going to hit you with a 69. I'm going to hit you with a 69.
It was just about over for him by then because that was a... I think that song came out in 94. Why they don't do an unsung on Father MC? Let me look up Father MC. Telling me that Father MC got a raw deal. Father. It's Father MC. It's Father. Everything's going to be all right. I'll Do For You, featuring Mary J. Blige. Father MC talks launching Mary J. Blige, Jodeci, and BET. His, wait a minute. Treat them like they want to be treated. I remember that. Yeah. His first album was Close to You, released November 3rd, 1992. He's from New York. Timothy Brown, known professionally as Father MC, is an American rapper from New York City, New York. He was born in Brooklyn and was raised in Queens. Is he Jamaican? Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Look at this. Brown began his career as a dancehall reggae performer and interspersed his reggae influence with sentimental love lyrics. So perhaps he's Jamaican. He's a yard boy. Maybe not from the yard, but he's yard associated. And people's from the yard. Him yardy. Okay. Oh, no. His first album was Father's Day in 1990. I can honestly say I have never owned a Father MC record. Well, no, I can't say that. I had that 69 song because they gave it out free at the Black Expo. I remember that. They gave it away. Like, yeah, I was like, Father MC, 69? What are you kidding me? You know, the 12-inch. They gave me the 12-inch. I'm like, y'all give me the 12-inch? They didn't give me the 12-inch. I was like, not the Ka-Single. Or was it the Ka-Single? Was it the Ka-Single? It might have been the Ka-Single. I could have sworn it was a 12-inch. But it could have been a Ka-Single. I miss Ka-Singles. I think Ka-Singles was dope. I think Ka-Singles. Anyway. Now that I look at him, yeah, he looks like he could be, he might be Jamaican. He might be. He might be. All right. Looking how you look, acting the way you act. But yeah, so you may have been mistaken from being from another city or town or whatever, based on the fact that you didn't fit the stereotype of how people from that area act. I'll tell you one thing that I'm often mistaken for that really kind of pisses me off. Being a cop. You know how many times I've been asked whether either I work in law enforcement or whether I'm in the military or was ever in the military. Now, I thought it was because I didn't, you know, for years I didn't wear a beard. I always had a mustache. I don't do the totally clean face thing, but I didn't have no beard. So I'm thinking like, all right, well, a lot of people in the military don't, you know, they don't have hair on their faces and stuff like that. And then the bald head, I was like, okay. So they look at me like I'm clean shaven. So it was like in the city like Philadelphia, where mad cats is running around here with the Muslim beards, the Sunni beard, or whatever, you know. And I'm looking like, I ain't looking like that. And I wouldn't grow that. I wouldn't. I mean, peace to people who embrace that look, but it ain't gonna be me. Mm-mm. My beard will always be like this, you know, close to the face, shaped up, and all that. We ain't I wouldn't want to look like that. Regardless of what my face is, I ain't doing it. But yeah. So yeah, I've been a cop. You know how I feel about the police. If you don't know how I feel about the police, let me tell you, I don't like no police. Boo, cops. Boo, boo. And I mean that shit. But yeah, either out of the military. Like, now at work, interestingly enough, I've been asked, like, did I have a military background? And I figured they were asking me that because they figure I seem regimented and disciplined at work. They don't really know. Like, I try to get things set up so I can go somewhere and take a nap. But I don't know. But I do believe in structure and discipline and, you know, just making sure that things are put in place and running the way that they're supposed to run. So I guess if that means that I've been in the military, oh. And I guess since I'm a little stocky, I don't see how that makes me a cop. Cops don't be in no good shape, not from what I see. Not that being stocky means that you're in good shape, but you understand what I'm saying. They knew that I obviously worked out. Like, I don't just naturally look this way. Whatever way you think that is. Whatever way you think that is. But where we run into problems with this whole concept is when people think, just like Savoy and T. Carrie Wright was talking about people saying that they look like they were married. You would probably much rather somebody say that you look like you were married than for somebody to say that you look like you a hoe or that you loose or, you know what I mean? Like, that's definitely not a compliment, no matter how you slice it. Like, when I first saw you, I thought that you were kind of slutty and maybe a loosey-goosey and, you know, one of them loose booty, you know, thotty kind of chicks. But I realized, like, no, you're actually very virginish, you know, extremely tight and, you know, kind of cold fish-like. Who knew? I'm not sure where the balance is with that. I don't know. So, I don't know, but this is what I know. This is what I know. This is the 16th of April, and we have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. April 16th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special, because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They get number one out the box. Brandi Badson, yeah, turning 39 years old today. And my girl going all the way back to like the 1982, maybe 83. My girl Rasheen Charnett, Queen Rasheen. She's a go-getter, a go-getter. And also Patricia Moss, turning 62 years old today. And Jaylene Pierre-Louis, happy birthday to you. And Go Brown, turning 47 years old today. And Hakeem Hamilton, happy birthday to you. And Latara Edwards, happy birthday to you. And Lachelle McGee, and she's raising money for the fundraiser for SIDS Other Infant Death Network. Oh, and also Stacey Reeves, happy birthday to you. And Keisha Sunshine Stovall Beattie, and she's a go-getter. And Jeanette Oliveira, turning 42 years old today. And my girl Sabrine Williams, happy birthday to you. And my man going all the way back to the 1985. Daryl Lackey, happy birthday to you, my brother. And last but not least, my girl Sherelle Flagg, happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all. And anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious April 16th, I hope that today finds you all in good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. All of y'all go ahead and turn up, but don't turn up too loud, just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out, rock on and do the damn thing, you do your thing, y'all represent the queens and kings, you do your thing, y'all represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait, great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, the way you look, the way you look, you act, the way you act, people can get it misconstrued. People can get it all messed up. People can get it mistaken. There can be a lot of mistaken identity. People can think that you're one way because their perception of the way that you look, the way that you act, means that you do certain things. But it's really up to you whether you want to prove or disprove anybody's perceptions of you. It really is your choice. And if you choose to do that, hey, power to you. And if you choose not to, if you say let them think what they want to think, it is the way it is, then that's fine too. Of course, there's some of us out here, some people out here who want you to think that they are this when they're not that. And we could have went deeper into that, but I think we've done enough. We've done enough for the Sunday. We've done enough. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. I said Blog Talk. We get you out of here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.